5, verses 13 through 16, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. The Bible says that Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless our Bible study tonight, that you would speak to our hearts. Be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus uses two illustrations here to remind us that as Christians, we have a certain responsibility or certain characteristics. And those two illustrations, of course, are salt and light. And he reminds us here as we look at this text that there is a possibility that we could be good for nothing. Or there's a possibility that our witness, our testimony, could be hid. And either case, that's not a good thing, because then you and I, we don't really serve any redemptive purpose while we're here in this world. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians, for instance, that one of the reasons that Jesus saves us is, of course, to bring glory to God, but the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, we're saved, we're going to heaven, while we're here, we're supposed to display our good works before men, that they see Christ living in and through us. So, we just want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about the idea, because there is some confusion. In fact, Pastor Ethan, I think, was in his Sunday school lesson on Sunday, kind of alluded to that it was on identity. And people who identify as Christians, and sometimes he was talking about, for instance, sometimes either sports figures or entertainers who identify as Christians in the adult Sunday school class, but it gets confusing because while they say they identify with Christ in many of their practices and their conduct, it doesn't really seem to dovetail with a true faith, comes down and saying. And so that can get confusing, and to maintain a proper testimony and be a good example before the world that's watching us. I think that you see in the news, this news anchor, Chris Cuomo, have you seen that? He's a news anchor for CNN, he's the brother of Governor Cuomo, and someone called him a particular name, from one of the Godfather movies, and he just put the hell in this guy, and spent all over the news and all over the. I'm sure he wishes he had never said and did what he had done. And he now identified with his behavior, and that's not a good thing. So, you and I, as believers, we are identified with how we behave. And we're reminded here that our behavior is like salt and a light. So two things I want to give you in the Bible study tonight. Two problems, maybe I could put it this way. One is the problem of assimilation. The problem of assimilation. Assimilation, of course, means to cause to resemble or to incorporate or to merge. Like, for instance, one of the issues that our culture is facing, it's not new right now, but the idea of immigrants assimilating to our culture. Now, if you go back to when Italians and French or French Canadians or the Irish came to this country, you can go to all the major cities, especially on the East Coast. Maybe you don't see it as much today as you did when I was growing up, but you saw still the remnants of it. Like in New York City was a place called Little Italy. That's where all the Italians immigrated to. And different places in different towns had all of that. And so over time, the idea was that they would assimilate into American culture. And they did over time. When we helped a family move from Moldova, they moved to Springfield. They were here for a little less than a year. Then they moved to Springfield. There's a large Russian population. But they wanted to get their children into English-speaking schools and to assimilate as soon as possible. And so, you know, that's a good thing, and it's an important thing. But we're talking from a Christian point of view. And so the first example that the Lord uses here is salt. And in order for salt, you know, salt, especially in Bible times, was extremely important. In the Old Testament, it's the opposite of leaven. Leaven in the Old Testament was an example or used to point out like sin. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's like yeast, it rises. Well, leaven in part of the Passover was to clear that leaven out of the house. It was to remind the Jewish people of purity and getting sin out of their lives. But salt was the opposite. Salt was used in some of the Old Testament, some of the Jewish feasts and some of the Jewish festivals as an indicator of purity, signifying purity and signifying perfection. And so you and I, as believers, we're to be the salt of the earth. The salt were to come into conflict, to be a preservative. It has to come into contact with something that would decay, right? So if you know a little bit about why they would salt meat, especially before refrigeration, it was so that the meat wouldn't decay. I'm not sure I understand the whole process, but I think the way that they did it, they would have the meat, they would cover it with, I think they would partially cook it and cover it with salt, and it would prevent the meat from decaying. It would last a long time. I don't know if that is that considered smoked meat or not really? No, that's a whole different process. But they did sear it, and they did put the salt on it, and that would prevent it from being from decaying. Well, you and I, we are the salt of the earth. We are living, it doesn't matter what culture it is, we're living in a culture that is decaying, and that's decaying because of sin. I kind of preached a little bit on Sunday. Our problems really as a culture are not socioeconomic or political or educational. The problems in the United States are a result of sin. That's the root of the problem. You can see it in all these other things, for sure. But every culture, if that's the history of cultures, they all decay just like meat. But you and I, as Christians, as the salt of the earth, we are here and set here to help slow down the decaying process of our culture and slow down the spread of sin in our culture. So Jesus, look again at verse 13, reminds us, ye, you and I as believers, as Christians, he's writing to believers, you are the salt of the earth. We're here to help preserve. But if we've lost our savor, the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trod under foot of men. So in order for you and I to be the salt that the Lord wants us to be, there's a false pretense. And this pretense is it's kind of crept into the church. That pretense is this. In order for Christians today to reach the culture for Christ, we must become like the culture. Well, that's not true. That's not how salt is supposed to preserve. And that's what happens with, that's what Ethan was trying to get across with regards to either athletes or entertainers. They claim to be Christians, and yet and maybe they're musicians, or if they're in the theater, some of the things that they do are contrary to what the Bible teaches. That's becoming like the culture when we're supposed to be not like the culture. You know, in Ephesians, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So we're supposed to be different than the world that's around us. And that's what salt is, a preservative. It's a preservative. Listen to a couple of these verses. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that's not to say we can't enjoy. We were talking about the trees. We've seen some trees changing. And boy, it's the fall. I love the fall. It's a beautiful time to live in this area and all the colors on the trees. So we're reminded when the Bible says, love not the world, either things in the world. It's not that we can't love the scenery and can't love some of the things that we enjoy. But there is a worldly philosophy that is contrary to Christianity. That's what we're not supposed to love. And or we're not supposed to love anything more than we love the Lord himself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. In a book that I'm reading called Making Sense Out of God, the author of that book says, he uses some examples. It's okay for someone to love football as long as they don't love football more than they love God. It's okay for someone to love, and you can plug anything into it, as long as they don't love that more than God. And of course, unless you plug something in that obviously is contrary to something in the Bible. So, we're supposed to be different. James says this, be adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's an old chorus that says, this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We're just strangers here and pilgrims. But this isn't our permanent home. We're going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Or Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we're not supposed to be conformed to the world we live in. And we're supposed to be salt. And if the salt loses its savor, we're not different. We're not living out the word of God in our lives. Then what difference are we really making? Our character, our distinction, the lines get blurred. So if we try to assimilate so much into the culture, compromise our true values. And that's not good. In fact, instead of having an impact on the world has an impact on us. And that's not the way that it's supposed to work. We lose our effectiveness. Somebody once said this, if you want to save a man from quicksand, you know what you do not do? You don't jump in to save him. And it's the same thing with the world. We want to be a testimony to the world in which we live in. We don't jump in and embrace everything that this world has, hoping that people will say, oh yeah, they're just like us, so I guess I can do that. No, that's not what Christianity is about. And by the way, we see that. We see that in churches today. If you go past a church that's flying a rainbow flag, that means that church embraces homosexual marriage. And they're proud of it. Aren't we so tolerant? Well, in your own eyes, you may be tolerant, and it may be what our culture, at least a portion of our culture, has accepted, but it's not accepted in the eyes of God. And that's all that matters. And so we see that. Non-offensive messages. Don't preach on specifics. And that sort of thing. Make sure that it's non-confrontational. And it's the culture that we live in. I remember when we began to support or get involved with the pregnancy center in town. I talked to the director at that time, and she was going from church to church. She said, I don't understand. She said, I've been to a couple of churches, and one church, she said, the pastor said, well, I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Well, how do you not, first of all, how do you reach the place of being a pastor of a church and have them come to terms with abortion? You know, and, but in some churches, they're on topics that they're not going to preach. The Bible says to preach the whole counsel of God, but sometimes it, when I was ordained, one of the best pieces of advice I got was this. They said, don't worry about filling the pews, just fill the pulpit. Just preach the word from the pulpit. But you start to water down a message and you try to assimilate into the culture, and you get to fly the rainbow flag and all of that, then you're not doing the will of God any longer. You're just trying to build an organization. And that's not what we're supposed to be. Then what has happened? The salt has lost its savor, and it's good for nothing. It's to be trodden under foot. Listen, salt was so valuable in Bible times, and that there was such an importance to salt, that often the soldiers would be paid with salt. You've heard the expression, he's worth his weight in salt. That's because salt was very valuable. We kind of take it for granted today, just go down and buy some salt. But it was a preservative. It brought pleasure because you put it on your food. It was a spice. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Paul didn't become all things to all men. Someone would say, didn't Paul become all things to all men? And the answer would be, yes, he did, but he didn't sin while he was doing that. Kept his testimony. So, how far do you assimilate into a culture, and how far do you get involved into a culture? As long as it doesn't violate the values of God's word. I'll give you one last example and move to the second and last point. So, I had a friend many years ago that took a church in Pennsylvania, and it was in an area of Pennsylvania where the town was filled with immigrants from Wales, and they call them Welsh, they're from Wales, right? And so when he took the church, their group of men came to him and they said, well, we have some Welsh traditions that we would like to, that we do, and because a good part of the church was made up of Welsh people, and they asked, if we call you as the pastor, would you be okay with that? And I thought he gave them a good answer. He said, I don't have a problem with it as long as any of these traditions are not contrary to the Word of God. And so that's how they left it. I guess it worked out okay. So there's a fine line there. So the problem of assimilation is if you assimilate so much, then you lose your savior. But then the second problem, and then he switches to light, it's the problem of isolation. And that can be a problem as well, to be so isolated what Jesus said? He says, ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. But then he says this, and here's the isolation part. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. In other words, the believer who isolates himself from the world is a hidden light. He's uninvolved, or she's uninvolved, and forfeits the opportunity to confront the world with the gospel. So if I could just use an example, as Charlie said earlier, he's going to Alaska. There's some friends there that they haven't seen in a long time, and he mentioned that he's hoping to be able to witness to them. Well, that's a good thing. That's taking your light and letting it shine. But the opposite of that is to become so isolated from the world that nobody sees your faith. Nobody understands your faith. And the Bible says, in John chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said, the life was the light of men. So you and I, we're the light of the world. Look at verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Talks about a candlestick and the importance of a candlestick in verse 15. But you don't put it under a bushel, you put it on a candlestick. That allows the candle to burn effectively and efficiently and brightly. Remember in Revelation, what was the warning to the churches there? The different issues that the Lord had with the churches were that you need to repent or you put out the candlestick, to put out the light. And separation from sin is not isolation from the world. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Sometimes you hear people say they get frustrated with the world in which they live. Christians, I'm just going to take my family, I'm going to go up into the mountains, I'm going to live all by myself up in the mountains and not have to deal with any of this. And I have to be honest, sometimes I think I would like to. But on the other hand, we're called to be a witness and share our life with the world. Listen, we have all of eternity coming where all of what we have to deal with in this life, we don't have to deal with it any longer. Amen? But we're here right now to confront the culture. To be the light of the Lord. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes to Christians in Corinth. He says this, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, but with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. Now I bring unto you not to keep company with any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. So if you understand what Paul is saying here, he's saying, I'm telling you not to have any contact with these people. People who are not believers, you don't have contact with them. Share the gospel with them. But once someone becomes a Christian, if they begin to engage in some of these behaviors, then it's your duty, and this is really a whole other lesson for another time, but go ahead and confront them and say, hey, this type of behavior for a Christian is wrong. And then if they don't stop, then the Bible instructs us to take a second brother or sister with us and say to them, hey, this kind of behavior is wrong. You need to stop this, and then you take it before the whole church. But he brings this point out here. He says, the fornicators of this world, how are they going to get saved and stop being fornicators unless you bring the gospel to them? Or how about the drunkards of this world? How are they going to, or the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, how are they going to stop that unless you first bring the gospel to them? They come to know Christ as their Savior, then the Holy Spirit begins to work in them, and then their lives change, and they're no longer involved in this. So, there's the idea of, yeah, we're in this world, we have to assimilate in this world. We're the salt. It's a decaying culture, so we need to be different. We need to, for people to see that we're different. You can't confront the culture if you're conformed to it, because people will say, well, what are you talking about? You're doing the same thing. But then on the other hand, you can't be so isolated. Let me go back to Matthew chapter 5 to finish up. You can't be so isolated from the world in which we live in that people don't see your light. One of the reasons that we decided to get out and do the downtown celebration is to go to a cultural event in our community to set up some booths and tables and let the light of Mount Real Life Baptist Church, really the light of Jesus Christ, shine at the downtown celebration. For people to see us, for people to get handed out gospel tracts, and people to see that we're people too, and to try to interest them in the gospel. So it's important that we live separated lives. I don't know who said this, but I wrote it down some years ago. They said this: separation is to the gospel what sterility is to surgery. It's foolish to scrub and never operate, or it is as foolish to scrub and never operate as it is to operate without scrubbing. So, in other words, if we're going to be effective with regards to sharing the gospel with people, we can't be isolated, or we're not sharing the gospel, but on the other hand, we can't be so like the culture that they don't see any difference in us. And we're not like the culture when we're living the Lord Jesus Christ. He's having an impact upon us. He's using us as the salt of the earth. And for his honor and for his glory. So the answer really lies in understanding the truth of each of the examples that Jesus gives. Since Christians are to be both the salt and the light at the same time, you can't hide from the culture, but you can't lose your contrast with the culture. It's got to be a healthy balance. That balance never should include any type of compromise. And that's the great challenge. So that's our Bible study for tonight. Being salt and being light. That's what we're called to be. In our community, in our homes, in our churches, at our workplaces, wherever we might be. Amen? All right, let's have a short word of prayer, and then we'll Lord, we ask that you bless in our prayer time that as we meet with you this evening, that you be with us in a very real, powerful, and special way. Help us to love you, help us to live for you each and every day of our lives, and help the world to see Christ living in and through us in Jesus' name.